Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It is 8:07 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get Elliot in here. He's been waiting, and then we'll get. What did you want to talk about, Dale? What were we going to talk about on this side? I forget. What's up, Elliot?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to hear you this morning. I had my final fantasy draft last night, and there's a lot of running backs going in the first round or two. You got the legacy guys between, like, the Henry, the Barkley, the CMC, and you got the young next-generation guys, the Gentry, the Bijans, the Gibbs. And my question, I guess, is specifically for Lance, is what was the differences between these young guys from a draft analysis standpoint when they were coming into the NFL? Did you see them all as generational, or like, did one film stand out more than the other? There's obviously an eye test that you can apply to all three of them, but I'm just curious of what you saw with them coming out.
Well, hold on. Let me make sure. Better there and there. Henry, wait, who are the three that you're talking about?
The Gentry, Bijan, and Gibbs, the three young guys that are going in the first round. Not the legacy guys, not the Henry, Barkley, and CMC, but the guys that are in their year one, two, or three.
So Bijan had rare I had him up there pretty high. But Bijan, I didn't have give him a 7.0, which is like perennial all-pro, but I had him up there really high. And he had just tremendous balance, He had a great ability to either elude you or run over you. And so you didn't know which you were going to get, and it kept defenders guessing. He had pretty good speed, but he was a very effective player on all three downs. And he could run with power. So you got a guy who can run with power, elusiveness, and can play on all three downs. And that's, you know, that's what you
every
want.
Every one of those guys except Gibbs was projected to be in this spot. Henry was
Henry was a second round pick. And Henry is runs. Henry's outside. He's an outlier, a 250-pound running back who, frankly, has to be in the right kind of offense. Like, you've got to get him downhill. You got to get his legs moving, because, like, with long leg running backs, you can't ask them to do a lot of short area cuts early in the run because they lose all their momentum. So if you get him downhill, though, he's a freight train.
Yeah, but Heisman winner. Saquon was incredible.
Yeah, Saquon.
Gentry was incredible.
Saquon and Gentry are the two highest I've ever written up.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like this is – the only one that's really surprising is Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit.
A little bit. Well, I think Derrick Henry, to an extent, was a little surprising that he turned into exactly what he's turned into, just because we hadn't really seen that. It had been a long time since we had seen a guy 6'4", 250 pounds do the things that he did. But Jahmyr Gibbs, you're right. Jahmyr Gibbs was not a full-time running back at Alabama. He shared carries at Alabama. We knew he was an explosive player, could hit explosive plays. You know, for me, the thing with Gibbs was, I know he's going to be good out of the backfield. I know he's a slasher who's going to hit some chunk runs for you. But, you know, are you going to be able, is he going to be Alvin Kamara? And there's nothing wrong with Alvin Kamara. But Alvin Kamara, you know, he's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season his entire career. Not once. And that's the thing I was wondering about with that's great. And fantasy football wise, that's awesome that he gets so many total yards and catches and PPR and all that stuff. But if you just need to go win a game and you're handing the ball off, you're not just – the Saints have never been a team that says we're just going to hand it off to Alvin Kamara and give him 24 carries. Gibbs did some of that last year when Montgomery went out. Gibbs actually – had some games where he had more carries. So, but I do think at his heart, he's a little bit more like Alvin Kamara. Like, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is still a guy that you don't want to give a ton of carries to, maybe 15 carries a game, 14 carries a game, but you want to just get him in space. So throw it to him a little bit. Yeah. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, but Jahmyr Gibbs also was somebody who Ben Johnson said, I want that guy. He's going to unlock our offense.
Yeah.
But it was important that they had David Montgomery with them. First, it was DeAndre Swift. And then they said, we got to have one hammerhead in here to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah, no, agreed. And Alvin Kamara, I mean, it's the total yards. I mean, how many times you throw to that guy? I mean, so, and it's the same with Gibbs. Yep. Listen, all of these, CeeDee Lamb came out. All of the first rounders, except maybe Nico, and Nico's going in the first round in a lot of drafts. Nico was a third rounder. But you look at, I mean, Jamar Chase, high draft pick, great college career. CD, great college career. You're looking at guys that are, they've got the pedigree. All of them got the pedigree. Except and Nico. Nico's played his way into it.
That's another thing with Derrick Henry, though. The reason he's kind of an outlier is he's not a third down running back. What makes, you talk about Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson. A lot of these guys here, Ashton Jeanty, a lot of the guys you're mentioning are going to play all three downs, where Derrick Henry's more of an early down guy. But Derrick is so dominant as an early down guy that it's superseded and transcended what some of the expectations were for him. But typically when you want to find an elite running back talent, you got to find somebody who plays all three downs, and then you want them to be able to be able to score in short yardage situations, short yardage touchdowns, and be able to, if you can, hit chunk plays. And so to do that, you've got to have a certain level of speed. I mean, that's when you're looking for the perfect back. And I'm trying to talk about the perfect back. But, the old saying is you got to be able to create for one of two ways, and I turned it into one of three ways, either with elusiveness, power, or speed. And if you can combine two of those three, you're going to be in great shape. You know, if you can do it with speed and elusiveness, where you can make somebody miss and then you can take off with, or if you can do power, power is yards after contact. So running and being a creator after power, Joe Mixon's not really elusive. He's not fast, but he has got tremendous power. But all those guys I mentioned, Jahmyr Gibbs and elusiveness and speed. Jeanty has all three. Saquon Barkley doesn't usually run with a tremendous amount of power, believe it or not. Everyone just assumes he does because he's all rocked up, but he's really more elusive in speed. But he can, he does have the physicality to hit you.
His legs are about as powerful as it gets.
Yeah, but Derrick Henry can beat you with power and speed.
Yep.
Everyone sleeps on the fact that when he gets rolling, you're not catching him. Derrick Henry is insanely football fast for a big running back.
Yep. All right. Let's get Garrick in here in a hurry. He wants to talk a little Astros baseball before we break. What do you say, Garrick?
Hey, guys. I'm calling because my issue right now is I've been defending Joe Espada most of the season, but the Astros' offensive woes really go back to batting Jose Altuve third. If you look at the numbers, Jose Altuve has been terrible with men in scoring position this season. On top of that, he has grounded into the most double plays with runners in scoring position this season with 11 and the third most overall. But if you look at his numbers, he gets on base and he hits when there are no men on base. Conversely, the Astros' best hitters with runners in scoring position are Jeremy Peña, Carlos Correa, and I would go ahead and say Yordan Alvarez. So what this tells me is the Astros should be batting Jose Altuve leadoff. Jeremy Peña should be either second or third, with him, Alvarez, and Correa being the guys in the middle of the lineup. And that way you'll score more runs because you'll have a guy getting on base and you'll score more runs. I know Peña has taken off since he became the leadoff hitter, but he just became a good hitter. So if you got a good hitter and he hits almost 340 with men in scoring position, he should be batting second or third with Yordan and Correa behind them and then Walker further down the lineup. But Espada consistently wants to bat Jose Altuve in the three spot, and he's killing a lot of their rallies. He's coming up with men in scoring position, and he's either popping out, grounding into a double play, or occasionally, or just giving weak contact and occasionally hitting into double plays. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks.
Well, the numbers back you up. This year with nobody on, he's got an 828 OPS. With runners on, 731. Runners in scoring position, 704 OPS, which is bad. Bases loaded, he's got a 444 OPS, which is terrible. Leading off an inning, he's got an 827 OPS. 828 with none on, 827 leading off an inning. And it's just, yeah, the numbers are backing you up on this. When he leads off, in the batting in the one hole, however, his OPS is 721. When he's batting third, his OPS is 878, nearly 900 in the three hole, as opposed to 721 leading off. I think he, when there's runners on, Jose Altuve has expanded his zone. Jose Altuve, it gets up there and he's hacking and pitchers know it and they're throwing him crap on that first pitch and he's behind all the time. He gets behind in the count because he's so aggressive with runners on for that first pitch. Now, I mean, I don't know if the OPS says bat him third because look at his OPS when he's batting in the three hole versus the one hole. And in the two-hole, he's the worst of all, 649. So in the three-hole, he actually is better off. However, with runners in scoring position, he's not very good.
His walk to strikeouts really bad is in the leadoff spot. It's not bad in the two-hole. It's not great in the three-hole. But to his point, though, when you have a swing-and-miss player, when you have a guy who has poor plate discipline, which Altuve was never great with plate discipline, but it seems like it's getting worse. That's not a great, you know, when you're in an RBI spot, that can be really tough when it comes to being a rally killer. I mean, he mentioned it. And you hate saying those things about Jose Altuve because Altuve has games where he just rescues you, and we know how great he is. But this has been an unusual year for Jose Altuve with men in scoring position. He has not been the same Jose Altuve.
Nope. I think, yeah. And I think in large part it's because of how aggressive he is with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, it's like he's getting worse as he gets older, better.
Yep. 819 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk a little Underdog again.
Underdog Fantasy, a chance for you to play one new feature. The new feature is ladders. I played Streaks last year. Streaks is great. Streaks, you start with two different entries where you're going higher or lower on statistics. If you win those two, you now have unlocked the third one, and so you pick the third one. You keep going up and up and up. If you get to 11, you're going to get a huge payout. It's awesome. You can do that for as little as $5, but you can also cash out along the way. So let's say your streak has reached 6. You've got 6 consecutive wins where you've gone higher or lower on a statistic that you've chosen for yourself. It's not one you have to pick from. You get to choose the statistic you want out of the vast array of NFL and even college statistics that are going to be out there. Once you're ready to cash out if you want to. You don't have to take it all the way to the end, but if you do, the payout's going to be substantial. And that's what Underdog does. It lets you put the game in your hands. How do you want to win? Do you want to play flex where it's like insurance? You just have to win 3 out of 4, 2 out of 3, 4 out of 5. Or do you want to try to win it all, go 4 out of 4 and go chase the big dollars? That's what Underdog allows you to do. You're going to watch the games anyway. Play along with the games you're watching by going to Underdog Fantasy. Download the app. Use promo code Lance on your first deposit. When you make your first play of $5, they're immediately going to transfer $50 of bonus cash into your account. So you're getting free money to play with. Turn that money into big dollars just using your sports knowledge and your ability to analyze the games. It's that simple. Underdog Fantasy. Watch the games and play along with Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, this Arch thing, Louis Riddick now. Oh, the hype doesn't match the tape. Jordan Rogers, the hype doesn't match the tape.
Credit to Jordan Rogers. He was first. He was the one who stepped out.
He did step out. Yeah. Where was Louis Riddick before?
I don't think he was
when
one of
Paul
those.
Feinbaum. Jordan Rogers actually said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt the same way. What, you guys, how many times did I ask our guests, you know, we got to settle down. We need to settle down, okay,
yeah.
Because this is way too much. And the hype before that game, they did a half hour on Arch. It was like, holy crap. Guys, he couldn't beat out a seventh rounder last year. I mean, the game that Ewers was having against Ohio State, and he couldn't come in. Tua. I mean, Nick Saban goes to Tua in the second half of a national championship. when Jalen was the guy all year, and he could not one time could Sark go to Arch.
But Jordan Rogers actually watched. Like he watched the tape, and it's on there. I could see it just from watching TV last year. When it comes to elite traits, Arch doesn't have them. He doesn't have big. And I had an argument with an NFL guy on text back and forth. He's like, I've seen him throw. He's the real deal. I'm like, that arm is just an average arm. That's nothing special about it. He does have good size. He is a pretty good athlete, but. I don't know. He doesn't throw with great timing. He made receivers wait.
He doesn't process.
But it was an issue last year where it doesn't come out on time, and he made receivers wait last year. Now, I thought it was interesting. Tom Brady. I was listening to Tom Brady during the break. I was listening to what he said, and Tom Brady said what's extremely important. He said you need to have adversity to basically scar you over. You need to have. These issues, you know, you have adversity. This can make you a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's from the old school of you do need adversity. And this could end up being a really good thing for Arch Manning.
And he ain't facing Matt Patricia every week either.
No.
Yeah, right?
No, so, it's going to get easier.
It's Ohio State, first of all.
Yeah,
in a big atmosphere, the first real big game he's been in. And it was Matt Patricia and his defense. So, yeah, Arch is going to be better, but Arch ain't. We got to. I mean, it's too crazy both ways now because Arch feels like crap. I saw an interview with him yesterday. He looked like, oh my God, he looked really bad. Like,
yeah, but it's because of our society, our media society now. We have to turn. We can't just say we're very excited to see Arch Manning's first, you know, full-time starting season. You can't just say that. It's got to be he's the best quarterback since the best since Tim Tebow ever in college football. It's got to be he's the Heisman. He's the first round. He's the first pick of the draft. You can't just say we're excited to see him and see what he's about. Like, we can't just say that. It's got to be you have to make some grand statement, a grand comment. And now I think we're seeing overreactions. Now it's gotten to the point, John, where I think people are overreacting to him not playing well.
Yeah. Right.
Just like you just said.
No.
He stinks.
He's just terrible and he stinks. And he was adopted and all of these things that, you know.
Can't believe they said he was adopted.
Adopted. Well, Peyton said it, but it was AI.
Oh, well. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
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 That does sound like a smart aleck thing Peyton or Eli might say.
It does feel. It does.
Well. Like they might say on the Manning cast. It does feel like something they could say.
But not after that game.
No,
I don't think they say it after what they saw. It had to be after, like, Arch did something silly, like he tripped, but he was having a great game.
Yeah. Not after he crapped the bed against Ohio State.
Well, maybe Cooper was adopted. We don't know.
I don't know. As Arch said, the ears tell the story.
Yeah, the ears. But listen, Arch's ears, they do. They're very Eli-ish. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here with us, you are more than welcome.
Gary, I got a feeling we're going to have a real roller coaster of Arch Manning talk with, like, he's going to be one of those guys, and then he's going to play well. See, Arch is that. Arch is that guy. He's him. No, he's not. Can we just let it play out and see what he is? We don't know what Arch is. Stop anointing him. It doesn't mean he's not going to be good, but there definitely wasn't enough to start crowning him this early. That was crazy.
Yep. Well, let's get Gary in here. He wants to talk about Arch. What do you say, Gary?
Hey, Lance, please, please don't interrupt me. And John, yes, we don't need to settle now. Unfortunately, I do agree with you, Lance, that we're in this society to where they set people up. But it's set up, so it's predicated on if he does well, see, we told you. And right. now that he played like crap, we want to provide a soft landing spot. No, we don't settle now. Because unfortunately now with social media, when we are ripping other QBs and we're talking about them and we're talking about him possibly being the first overall pick to go to Cleveland and save them, we disrespect the quarterback that have put in the time. This guy has two uncles and a grandfather and possibly great-great-grandfather that he talks to every day. So we set it up, oh, poor war is me, that to where he can talk to them, oh, this is his very first game against Ohio State and Matt Patricia. Well, in the NFL, everybody's defense is Matt Patricia type. So but it was all set up to all this, and no, we don't settle now. When you can talk about other quarterbacks, and now we have free reign to social media, we can step up and bark back too. When you put down other players and other quarterbacks for whatever reason, then it's fair game. It happens. It's a microwave society. But I hear you guys saying, hey, well, Matt Patricia on one game, Ohio State, yes, NFL caliber quarterbacks. Well, damn it, if he's gonna be the first overall next year, everybody in cornerbacks.
He's not going to be. He never was going to be.
Well, but wait a
minute. He never was going to be. You're arguing it.
Everybody's saying it.
Gary, no, it's not. It's not. Well, you can talk to everybody else because this show is not saying it. This show is not saying it. Gary just wants to argue with something that didn't happen. He had his call. See, this is what Gary doesn't like. He had his call all planned out, and he doesn't like it. Doesn't really fit with what we said. We always said before the game that we didn't see the Arch hype at all. Before the game, we said that.
Gary, you don't even listen to the show because I've been saying it all offseason. He was way overhyped. So stop, Gary.
And no one also said he can't take heat.
And so he can take all the heat he wants. Overhyped and he plays poorly. They gave him way too much credit beforehand. So you shouldn't bash. He's been just average since he came out. Since he's been with Texas.
Terrible spring game, his first game. Remember the spring game, his freshman year, how bad he was?
He was bad his freshman year. He couldn't make a decision to throw the ball.
Gary, we don't care if you get on Arch, man. I don't care if anyone gets on him. What we're saying is
he was overhyped.
We shouldn't be crowning guys before they even play. That's what we just said. There was no reason to crown him. The Matt Patricia stuff is just real football. You don't engage in football talk, Gary. You don't analyze anything. You just jump on a quarterback's back based on pigment, and that's all you do. So you don't even have any analysis. I've never heard you analyze anything, to be honest with you. All we're saying is Arch, it looked bad, but he is going to face lesser defenses and lesser coordinators. So then he's going to play better, and the hype will start building again. Know what he's going to be, to be honest with you. I don't think he has elite skills as an NFL quarterback. I think the quarterback from South Carolina is going to be the first pick, and I've thought that since last May. Since this previous May, Lenore Sellers is going to be the first quarterback. I don't think Arch is – I never thought Arch was coming out. Not once did I ever believe Arch Manning was coming out this year. Because the Mannings – and even when Arch said, I don't know where that's coming from. Because you're not ready to come out, and all your – uncles all played 4 years in college. You've barely started at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Gary just had an argument. He was ready to. I don't care if social media tears him up.
Gary called in to my show. Social that media. Same thing.
Yeah.
And
when did we hype up Arch?
I didn't do it on my show. In fact, I've had my questions about Arch. You've made your questions known quite clearly. Gary tends to argue on these shows about things he's heard on other shows.
Maybe.
That's kind of how it goes.
That's not how it was here. 834 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. I want to talk. You know what I hype up a lot? Coors Light. You know why?
Yeah, you do.
I do. But you know what? It deserves all the hype it gets.
You're the Gary of Coors Light.
I'm telling you. Yep. I'm going to hype that. I'm going to hype up Coors Light. And you know what? It lives up to the hype. That's the thing. It ain't like Arch. It's living up to the hype. It's the greatest beer ever. Okay. And it is. And there you have it. So there's no, I have no problem whatsoever getting on that hype train. What? Love train. Coors Light train. All right. And we were playing yesterday and we're playing today. And there's a lot of Coors Lights flying. We had our fantasy draft. Boom. Coors Lights. What? Yep. It's a great run I'm on. I got to tell you, I'm on a great, great run. What was it? The best beer in the history of beers. And we're best of friends, and we're going to stay best of friends. And I'm going to hype it up as long as I live. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Going to climb on, brother.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Baseball is embarrassing itself. Did you see that Freeland Devers fight?
Yeah, I did.
That's funny.
Well, it wasn't a fight. But...
A lot of the push. Oh, my God. Devers comes in after, and Freeland's got his back to him, and Devers just comes up and pushes him a little bit. And then there's like 12 guys, and they're in front of him, and now he's pissed off now. I'm coming after you.
Well, baseball. This is your sport. I've been telling you baseball's a joke for years, and you keep pushing back on it.
Well,
now look at you.
The baseball fights are the... Now, there's been a couple great ones.
But what fights in sports are real? Like,
well,
what?
NBA used to be real now.
I mean, no one does that anymore. There's too much money involved for guys to actually getting real fights now. It's
Hockey is real.
Why? Yes. Hockey's the one sport where we're just okay with guys beating the brains in of the opponent. You know, it's hockey. Let them do what they want. But all the other sports, no one's really getting into a fight. Hey, I make $1 million a game. Why the hell would I be fighting?
Yeah. Or
$500,000 per game.
Yeah, the money's good. The money's great. So,
and there's still fights in locker rooms, though. Between players on the same teams.
There should have been one last night with Salazar.
Yeah, so I just sent you the Dallas Braden. I sent you the Dallas Braden tweet. We can listen to him. Dallas Braden, former, big league pitcher, he broke this down, the Fromber and Salazar situation. In case you missed it, if you didn't watch a game and you're just joining us, Fromber Valdez shook off a pitch. I didn't realize this because it's pretty subtle. He shook off a pitch from Salazar, and that's why Salazar said back off the mound. He shook off a pitch from PitchCom, and he didn't back off. Instead, he threw the pitch. He grooved it right down the center of the plate. Bang, grand slam, opposite field, Crawford boxes. Then Fromber, two pitches later, ends up throwing a fastball that clearly was called, a different pitch, and he just nails Salazar in the arm or chest or wherever with that pitch. And it's pretty clear to everyone involved that Fromber did that intentionally. This has been a Fromber who has been very frustrated for several months now. They're talking about it on ESPN. There's national articles being written about it. And Dallas Braden, former pitcher, takes you through the at-bat where he gave up the grand slam, and then afterwards. Dell, when you got that ready, you can just play his breakdown of it, and you can listen to what a Major League Baseball player, right, former Major League Baseball player, is seeing.
All right, we'll do that. We got a couple of calls here. Dell's getting that ready.
Okay.
He's got to listen to it first.
Okay.
And then we'll play that. Spencer wants to talk LSU football. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, boys. So, of all the Arch Manning talk, that's fine and good, but I think it should be wall-to-wall LSU Tigers, because that defense on Saturday was one of the best Tiger defenses we've seen in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Aranda was a great DC there, but, I mean, his last couple of years, the defense actually wasn't that great. The Burrow year, we scored like 50 points a game. The defense was okay, but it wasn't great. I mean, that defense on Saturday, I mean, they put pressure up front. They appear to have really good cover secondary guys, cornerbacks and safeties. They have fast linebackers that go side to side and up and down. And it was fantastic. And I love the defensive play calling. One thing I hate is when defenses go into a prevent defense and give up 8, 9, 12-yard chunks over and over and over near the end of a game. LSU's DC kept it coming. He just kept the pressure coming, kept playing the same defense. And it really was just a phenomenal performance. I mean, the game should have been 24-10. I still can't wrap my brain around that absurd reversal of I thought they were going to give him a touchdown instead of the one-yard line, and then it said no catch, which is just ridiculous. And so even though it was only 17-10 final score, it should have been 24-10, and that was a dominant defensive performance. Nussmeier played really well, didn't make any dumb mistakes, threw the ball well. Durham looked good out of the backfield. LSU might be the best team in the SEC. So
well,
go Tigers.
That's one opinion, Spencer, but if we heard from Dabo didn't give high grades to either team.
Well, we
got I've got
that.
The audio in here.
You ready?
Well, do you also have Brian Kelly's afterwards?
Yeah, yes, we have the Dabo.
Okay, we good. Got here's Let's Dabo play them both. Talking about the game and their loss, and then Brian Kelly responds to the grades that Dabo put out there.
I mean, if we didn't make the first tackle, I mean, Wade's got the guy. He's got. I mean, I don't even know how his knee didn't go down, but you know, without that run. I mean, like I said, the last 58 minutes is 2.8, and that is a physical group. It's a very smart quarterback, and that is a back. So they're going to be a problem, and they got some explosive dudes, and we it was a hell of a game. It was a hell of a game down the last play, right out of the gate. It's like getting the final exam day one of class. They made a 65, we made a 58. Neither one of us were great.
Okay. So that's Dabo.
And,
of course.
And here's Brian Kelly's response to that.
In a world where everyone can hear everyone else, here's Brian Kelly.
We dominated him in the second half. So he's either a really good grader for, you know, giving himself a 58, or he's a really hard grader on us, or he didn't see the second half, which that might be the case. He might not have wanted to see the second half.
God.
And then, by the way, I got Mike Gundy too, and what he's talking about. Well, I'll send that to you, Dell. We got a lot of sound to play here. We got the sound from.
Hold on, before we play any more sound on the rundown, Lance, would you like to watch another video on your phone so that sound comes out over the air again?
When did I do that?
During the middle of the Dabo sound.
Kind of did.
Is there
what
another?
Did it say?
It just music.
Your music came through.
Music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time you fiddle on that phone, music comes through.
I just sent a text message back because Mason wanted us to know that there was a no-show job for Kawhi Leonard. We needed to talk about it on the radio.
Thanks, Mason. We got to
Thanks, Mason.
Yeah, appreciate the heads up.
All right, we have got a break. We got Longhorn Keith. One's going to want to get in here. We'll do that. We have got all kinds of sound that we've got to play. We've also got to talk about John Daspit.
Yeah, John Daspit is. I'm glad I get to talk about John Daspit because there may be someone out there who is in a car accident and they don't know where to turn because they know that there's medical bills piling up. They're not going to be able to work because they work a job where it's physical labor and they've got an injured back or an injured knee. Injured knee and back. It could be any combination of things. And they're just like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. And then what happens is the insurance company says, don't worry, we'll take care of this. We're going to make everything right with you. And then what happens is they look out for their side of the equation and you do not get a fair settlement at all. And I don't want to see that happen to you. I'd rather you call John Daspit as soon as this happens. Get with the Daspit Law Firm because they will start fighting for you immediately. They'll make sure that everything is followed. All the bills are going to be paid medically. All your time that you miss from work is going to be compensated for because that should not come out of your pocket. It was someone else's negligence caused that. And then on top of that, they're going to make sure that you are compensated for your pain and suffering. You need someone on your side who's not going to give in to the insurance company, that's going to fight hard for you, that you're the most important person in this entire situation. So if you're injured at work, if you're injured, you know, on the job, if you're injured on the roadway or just on location somewhere due to someone's negligence, make sure that you call 713 Call Now and let them start fighting for you right away. It's 713 Call Now or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Time to talk about my peeps over at Game Day Men's Health, heading over there Friday, as a matter of fact. We can't wait to get my pellets, and it's going to be different. And you know what? This is the answer for me. There's an answer for you. How to get your testosterone, how to feel better, how to look better, how to perform better. All of the things that you want. You want to be better. Game Day Men's Health makes you better, okay? If you're somebody that's getting older and you're getting sluggish and you're like, it's just part of aging. Well, you don't have to age. You don't have to. Get your testosterone right because that helps you perform better in every way, shape, or form. You don't have to deal with a lack of testosterone, and you don't have to pay to find out whether or not you're a candidate for testosterone, which the other places do. Game Day doesn't charge you. Game Day has labs on site. Game Day has experts. Game Day has all the peptides to make you feel great. Game Day. Game Day Men's Health. You're thinking about testosterone? I think they're just different. I think they're just better. GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 8:48 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will get to Dallas. What's his last name?
Braden.
That's right. Threw a no-hitter for the A's.
His claim to fame, and of course now he's in our lives forever now.
Yep.
I was trying to think of the Astro that compares to Dallas Braden, not Mike Fiers, because he threw a no-hitter and then he did all the other stuff. Is there an Astro you can favorably comp to Dallas Braden? Like, he had a moment in the sun, and if we turned him into what Dallas Braden has become, where he's on the broadcast team strictly Burke, because of that?
Chris Burke has been. I mean, he had the one home run to win and send them to their first playoff win.
What's he do now?
On ESPN forever doing college baseball.
Well, what about Jim DeChase?
Jim DeChase.
That's going way back.
Yep. Jim DeChase is more personality.
And Braden, well, I would say had a moment. We've actually had a lot of guys like that over the last.
And then we turned them
in,
and we gave, and he got a, and they got a career out of the moment.
Well, I don't know if it's out of the moment.
That's why Chris Burke makes some sense. Although it's not with the Astros specifically, like Braden, he does A's stuff, but he has the hit.
Yeah.
And now, as you said, he does college baseball for ESPN in perpetuity, it seems.
Yep. Well, he was a really good college player at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's get, before we play that sound, SEC takes care of SEC. Before we play that sound, let's get Longhorn Keith in here. I think you want to talk about Arch, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Yeah, just a little bit, but more specifically the team as a whole. First of all, Shout out to the Ohio State fan base for we had a great experience out there, man. We got out there Thursday and just took a tour of the campus and saw the stadium and really nice folks, nice environment. No real bad problems out there. And the game itself, a lot of this talk about Arch, and you guys, you're right, I kick back at gear a little bit, don't know him, but you guys in Dale shows never bought into, as a matter of fact, you kicked against the old Arch hype, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. But to the point that my concern or my frustration with the game was not so much the Arch's play, because I didn't come in with high expectations of him being like a savior. I did say that he would be better than Quinn Ewers because of his ability to be a little bit more mobile and to stand in the pocket. And he did prove that he could stand in the pocket during that game, which was really good to see. However, my concern was with Steve Sarkisian, man. And I don't like the default to the coach. It's like, hey, we need a new coach. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but he needs to hire an offensive coordinator because I think Steve Sarkisian gets a little too arrogant with his play calling, and more specifically with his ability. He doesn't like to accept the fact that what he's calling and the adjustments he needs to make are not working. And Matt Patricia schooled him. And it wasn't because they were better athletes. I literally watched. I was at the game, and I was texting my friends, and I go, bro, if you were seeing what I'm seeing, all of our play actions, all of our wide receivers were running deep routes, like deep go routes or post routes.
And I'm like, but you gotta basically this young quarterback in his first game on the road at Ohio State against some damn good defensive backs. I didn't understand what he was doing. And he didn't throw a single pass across the middle until late. Now, I know Arch missed a few of those open receivers. But still, man, you got to dial up plays that make it obvious for him. Like, this is your number one read. So I think, you know, Steve Sarkisian needs to do a better job there. In my humble opinion, he needs to hire an offensive coordinator. Then lastly, I'll leave you with this, man. I'm still obviously excited for our team in this season. I will tell you, though, I'm a little concerned. This hype, the hype that people are giving Arch is not my problem. The hype that people are giving Manny Muhammad, the defensive back for us, it's sick. That dude is the worst cornerback I've seen in a Texas uniform in a long time. Yet he keeps getting all this, like, you know, he's this first-team All-American. In every single game, he gets a holding penalty or he gets a defensive pass interference. The worst defensive back I've seen in the Texas Longhorn uniform for many years, man. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season, man. Thanks for all you guys do, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
Keith with the zag. Yeah, that Arch stuff. But what about this cornerback that no one knows?
That's message board anger right there.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's paying attention, okay? He got receipt. Yeah, either Arch was throwing it sideways or down the field. He's right. I mean, I don't know. Sark needs to catch it. Sark needs to catch
it. Well, the goal line. That stuff has been there infuriating Texas people for years now.
Yeah.
His inability to find ways to score touchdowns when they're in close.
And that's really an art form. Like, it's... You know, what he wants to do is be a bully, but he doesn't have offensive line to blow people off the ball. And so you have to create ways. You have to create ways to keep the defense on their heels. You have a very short end zone, so you can't really stretch a field out. So how do you get people, you know, how do you count? How do you run counters? How do you have misdirection? What are you going to do? How are you going to execute? How are you going to expose the other team's weakness or, you know, execute towards the other team's weakness? He doesn't do a good – he just hasn't done a good job. He's got a great reputation as a play caller, but it's really taken a hit, I think, over the last few years. It's really taken a hit. And, you know, that's always – it's amazing how often I watch game tape on quarterbacks. You know, I'm watching full field game tape, and it's amazing how often I see offensive play designs – where you have multiple vertical routes in against, especially when you have an offensive line that can't protect, or you have a quarterback that's not great at, you know, it doesn't have a lot of poise. If you have Arch Manning, you've got to make, like, it's everything Keith said is true. Number one, he should have been running more. He should have designed an offense that takes advantage of Arch's legs and runs the ball. Mm-hmm. That takes so much pressure off of him, and it puts him in better down and distance situations. Number two, have the easy throws dialed up. You got to have some easy throws dialed up. And I'm not sure that Arch is ready to throw accurately on crossing routes and moving, you know, and moving patterns. He didn't throw with much accuracy and ball placement at all on some of those throws. So I question whether or not he maybe needs to have a static passing attack where get a lot of stop routes, you know, short slants, things like that for him. Of course, you know, the sideways throws are just going to be what, unfortunately, that needs to be some of the throws you make with Arch just to get him some confidence back, I think.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Let's do the Dallas Braden.
Oh, by the way, I do want to say we talked to Matthew Frazier yesterday, who's a Longhorn fan. He said the same thing Keith did. He said, I got to tell you, for the first time ever that I was at Ohio, that I've been to an Ohio State game, and he's a Longhorn. He went to the game. He said, they were great. He said, no issues.
Really?
They were really friendly. He said, it's almost like they've heard about their reputation and they all tried to, you know, everyone's trying to do something about it. I said, yeah, but you guys lost. Well, what would have happened if you won and tried to leave the stadium? He said, yeah, maybe it was different. He said, but I'm telling you, in game, before the game, we didn't have any issues with Ohio State fans. And Keith just said the same thing. And you know what their reputation is.
Yeah, no, that's different. I mean, That's different than it used to be, that's for sure. Good for them. Good on them that they're not the biggest a-holes.
Either that
sports.
Or they're tricking you.
And, you know, you got a national championship in your back pocket. That's going to calm you down a little bit as well.
Yeah, probably so.
Then Ryan Day loses to Michigan again, then we'll see them come out in full force.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, let's break, and then when we come back, we'll get that Dallas Brayton thing in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I got to talk about Chastain Ford. And what's the date today? Oh, my goodness, Chastain Ford. It is September 3rd. We are past. Listen, there are still so many great deals out there, Chastain Ford. They are ready for you to get over there and take advantage of their pricing, take advantage of the way that they go about it. It just doesn't get any better than Chastain Ford. I saw an F-150 that I saw somebody, they got it from somewhere else, and I was like, you know what? If I'm going to go and I'm going to buy a vehicle, and if I'm going to buy a Ford in the city of Houston, I'm getting it from Chastain Ford. I know the transparency. I know that I've got them always wanting to do the best for me. I know that they're going to get me into the truck or the SUV that way I want it, not the way that they want it to get as much money as possible. I just know that it's just going to be a better car buying experience. I love me some Chastain Ford. I buy all my vehicles from Chastain Ford. Every vehicle we have is from Chastain Ford and will continue to be that way. You're looking for the best way to get into that Ford truck or SUV. There is one way to do it. ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.